Welcome to Leadership Uncensored with Ed Young. Leadership Uncensored is an open, honest roundtable talk about different areas of ministry, both the good and the bad. Ed and his staff at Fellowship Church will talk about the successes and failures of their experience starting and growing Fellowship Church.
This stuff is the raw deal, what we're talking about. This is uncensored. This is behind-the-scenes stuff.
In this talk, Ed is joined by Preston Mitchell and Tracy Barnes as they discuss the powerful impact your church can have through assimilation.
How do you assimilate? How do you disciple? How do you get someone from point A to point B to point C? Assimilation is always there. It's a constant. It was a constant when we had 150 people showing up. It's a constant today. It doesn't matter what style, what kind of church, from boomer to buster, from linear to non-linear, from modern to postmodern to whatever. Assimilation, how do you do it?
For more information about the topic discussed today, just log on to our website, creativepastors.com.
How do you assimilate? How do you disciple? How do you get someone from point A to point B to point C and so forth? And today, we have with us on Leadership Uncensored, Tracy Barnes, who is pastor of assimilation here at Fellowship Church. And I also have got Preston Mitchell with us. And we're going to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly regarding assimilation. And Tracy, you've been a pastor for many years now. You've come on staff here at Fellowship Church, and you do just a phenomenal job. But I tell you, man, assimilation is always there. It's a constant. It was a constant when we had 150 people showing up. It's a constant today. It doesn't matter what style, what kind of church, from boomer to buster, from linear to non-linear, from modern to postmodern to whatever. Assimilation, how do you do it, Tracy?
You know, Ed, everybody, when they think about assimilation, they immediately think, well, assimilation must begin when we have some type of new member class or whatever like that. You gotta understand something. Assimilation begins long, long, long before anybody ever shows up in a new member's class or walks down in a walk-down invitation. Here at Fellowship Church, one of the things that we understand and have been doing for a long time is assimilation begins before they even get on our campus.
Oh, yeah. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is this. Yeah. You and I have got to understand how people view our church, our campus, our services. In other words, you and I have got to get into the shoes of that first-time visitor before they ever arrive on campus, because that's critical. First impressions are lasting impressions.
Yeah, they are.
So what we need to do is we need to back up and get about a mile or two off our campus and drive in during one of our key services and see just exactly what happens.
And, you know, Tracy, that is hard for staff members to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, we're so used to our environment and we're coming and going, and all of a sudden we begin to miss some of the things that other people see, and we just forget about the importance of what you're talking about.
Well, we get used to our stuff, and we're blind to it. That's why when you get off campus and you drive in, take a piece of paper and a pen and start making notes and look at everything from the eyes of a first-time visitor. Put yourself in that role and ask yourself as you're getting close to that campus, do I know where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
Are there signs out here telling me how to get here?
Right.
I mean, signs that I can read and see clearly.
Hey, Tracy, you know what? Several years ago, Lisa and I and our family visited a growing, dynamic church during one of my breaks. And I heard this church was really, you know, on the cutting edge and reaching all these people and, you know, so forth and so on. I still don't know where I was supposed to go when I drove onto this church's campus.
Oh.
Wheels off.
You know, I couldn't
find the place, no signage. The ushers were clueless. It was nuts.
Yeah. I was at a church one time that they had invited me to come and speak. And I remember when I showed up Sunday morning, same drill. I had no clue. They were meeting in a movie theater. Well, there were lots of movie theaters. And I just kind of drove around till I saw some people heading toward a door and assumed that must be it.
Uh-huh.
You know, we can't do that. We have got to make it accessible for visitors, because remember, assimilation begins long, long before we ever get into a new member's class. It starts before they even get on campus.
That's right. And the problem with most churches is it's all about laziness. That's why churches so many times take this whole assimilation thing for granted, and they take for granted people coming onto their campus and being able to find things. It's because they're lazy.
And you know what, too, Preston, I remember this is, I don't know who told me this, but going back to what you guys were talking about, when you take a tour of your facilities. You drive up signage and look at how the ushers, greeters, whatever, the cleanliness of it, the order of it. I read somewhere, or someone told me this years ago, that if you, for example, see like a hole in the wall or a piece of carpet that's all messed up, if you allow that to go on for like 3 weeks, after 3 weeks, nothing is tweaked in your mind or in your heart that thing looks ugly anymore.
You just blank out on it.
You get used to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you don't see it at
all. And when that happens, I mean, that happens so much in church, you put it on autopilot. So I think, too, as you have people look at your church, you also need to have people who have just joined your staff or new people to go along with you to see it, you know?
Well, you know, one of the things is what we want is we want to make things as accessible as possible. That's why it's critical that you have a parking ministry. You start there. Even if your church is small and you say, hey, we don't have that many cars coming.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's not really all that practical. Oh, don't go there. Even if you're a small church with not that many automobiles pulling in whatever you call your parking lot,
right,
put somebody out there. They're just an extension of your greeting team to start with. But what you're doing is you are sending a huge signal, not only to those that are coming that visit your church, but you're also telling all of your church, we expect to grow. We're not going to stay this way. We're going to assimilate lots of people. We're going to need more than just one parker. But make sure that those parkers know what they're doing so that when people come, they know where to drive in, they know where to park, and when they get out of their automobiles, do they know where to go? Are there signs? Are there people showing them where to go? And when they get to the front door, is there somebody there to greet them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my, you know that church I was talking about earlier? When I got to the front door, going into the movie theater where they were meeting, the door was propped open with a big trash can full of trash.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody was there, and I walked past this juicy trash can going, ooh, I don't believe this. They've got to be kidding. Are they really expecting
people to hang?
Now,
see, Tracy, a lot of people are going, wait a minute, you're talking about assimilation right now? You're talking about
that.
Yeah, we are.
Absolutely.
This is when people make the decision about whether they're going to, first of all, come to your church.
Are they going to hang around?
And if they don't come back, you can forget about assimilation.
Yeah. What's the point? I've often told our guys, listen, if we don't do the job we need to do in the parking lots and at the front doors, it doesn't matter how good the music is. It doesn't matter how great the speaking is. They're not coming back. What's the point? That's why assimilation begins long before anybody ever gets on your campus. You got to start thinking there.
Well, and I know, Tracy, your goal is to have at least three people say hello to every person that comes into Fellowship Church.
Oh, absolutely.
Parking lot, greeters, ushers, and if they go by a hospitality area, that hospitality person says
absolutely
hello. So before they ever sit down and hear the opening song, they're already welcomed. They've already built quick relationships with people because people have said hi to them. And that's really what it's all about, is providing a comfortable environment so that when people walk into your church, they feel like they're wanted.
How many times have we heard here at Fellowship Church somebody say, you know, one of the reasons why I hung around here is because somebody said hello to me and told me they were happy to see me when I walked through the front door. You and I do not realize how significant that is and what an impact we have on people when we're willing just to stick out a hand, greet them, shake their hand, and tell them, I am really glad you're here today. That has a huge, huge impact upon people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what happens? Okay, someone shows up and they connect, they meet people. How do we begin this assimilation process from this point? Because we see assimilation begins with signage, with cleanliness, with the friendliness of the people. Now what?
Well, now we've brought them into our services to be brought into a life-changing atmosphere, a biblically driven message that's coming at them. They're hearing things, and suddenly they decide, you know what? I would really, really like to get connected with this church. How do I do that? Well, one of the best ways to do that is to create what's known as a newcomers class or a new membership class, whatever you want to call it, where people have an opportunity to come and first hear about the vision of your church, what you're about. Here at Fellowship Church, we're all about reach up, reach out, reach in, and that is the basis of our new members class. Well, they see that. They need to know how to get there. For instance, in your guest registry, in your worship guides or bulletins, you've got all of the marketing pieces there to let them know when these classes meet, how to get there, how do I sign up. so forth and so forth. And then they come and involve themselves in that class. And here at Fellowship Church, we have our newcomer classes. Now we're doing them four times a month at the beginning of the month. Do one on Saturday night, two on Sunday, and another one on Thursday night. And the reason we do so many of them is to give people lots of opportunities, lots of options.
That's right. And you know, the great thing too, Tracy, about our newcomers class is it's short. It is not a long, drawn-out process. I know some churches may have 3, 4, 5 hours of classes in their newcomers class, and you know, we just say, if it takes you that long to explain your church is too complicated.
Yeah.
So I think one of the real important things is it's a short class.
We make it so hard sometimes. No, here at Fellowship, what we do is it is really less than an hour. I've got it down to almost 50, 55 minutes where we talk about the reach up, the reach out, the reach in. And I spend the bulk of the time in this class on that first point, reach up, which is worship or expressing our love to God. And the reason being is, and this is very important, the key thing, the bottom line of what we're about is to make disciples. For men and women, boys and girls, to come into a living relationship with the only one who can change lives, mm-hmm. and that's the life changer, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so that reach up portion, as I begin that, talking about worship, being 24/7, being a part of your life, I ask the question, if you're going to worship God in that way, you've got to have a relationship with God. And that launches me into about a 20-minute presentation of the gospel, a very clear but detailed presentation of how you can have a relationship with God through Christ. It's a wonderful way to do it because, one, you're in a really low-key atmosphere. They're enjoying a simple meal. They're sitting at a table. There's no pressure. You don't have these big crowds. And they're getting a chance to really listen as someone shares the gospel message.
Let me stop you there, Tracy. And Ed, you know, one of the biggest questions we get at Fellowship is, how come we don't do altar calls?
Yeah, we do them sometimes, but the altar call for us happens in the newcomers'
class. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And why did we do that? What was the thought process years ago when we changed that?
A long, long time ago, we discovered that when someone does walk forward, and maybe even we have some people to talk with them, still in that environment, there's not enough time to really process what they have done, or is it really for real, so forth, so on. We decided to make the move over to the newcomers thing to say, this is how people commit to Christ. This is how they understand and establish that personal relationship. And then after Tracy shares, we also have people that talk to them on one-on-one basis.
Right.
So we want everyone in our church who joins to know what it means to become a Christian. And obviously, they need to be believers.
Well, that's why in the newcomers class, you have the time to really develop the whole gospel presentation in a low-key atmosphere where the people do not feel pressured, and they can take in that information and begin to understand and process it. And we hear time and time again, I hear time and time again of people who've told me how they, sitting in that class, suddenly it connected. In fact, one guy, I remember in the newcomers class, when I got to the point where I led them in prayer, and I invite them to pray along with me as I just pray a simple prayer to admit that they've sinned and that sin has alienated them from God and receive Christ and the forgiveness and so forth. And I tell him, you don't have to pray out loud, but as I was leading them in prayer, this guy was praying out loud.
Wow.
I mean, he was repeating me verbatim out loud. And afterwards, I came over to him, and he was just super, super excited. And he said, you know, I've been sitting week after week in the services, and Ed just kept saying all these things about the gospel and about relationship with Christ. And then all of a sudden, you just said this, and boom, everything that I'd been hearing suddenly all mm-hmm. crystallized, and I got it. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited because I know that Christ now lives in me. Man, that's the bottom line. That's what it's all about.
That's right, man.
So it starts at newcomers class. Someone decides at that point they want to join Fellowship. What do they do?
Well, when they join Fellowship Church, as we go through the class, we go through that reach up portion talking about worship, which leads us into a relationship with Christ. The second thing we talk about is reach out, which is evangelism, explaining to them the vision of this church, understanding why we do what we do. That one of our primary focuses is to draw people here, men and women, boys and girls, to our campuses, to one of our services, where they can come into that atmosphere, that life-changing atmosphere, to ultimately come into a life-changing relationship with Christ. And then finally, the reach in, which is discipleship. And it's there. I don't go into all of what we have to offer here at Fellowship Church, because to be honest with you, if I tried to do that, it's overkill, it's overload, it's too much. What we do is we focus on, at that point, what we call E2. And this is very, very important, something that we've developed. And what E2 is, it's actually two E's, experience and excel.
I like that.
Experience and excel.
Experience
3 weeks of
excel.
Experience, which immediately follows the newcomer's class. And then following those 3 weeks of experience comes 4 weeks of excel. But the experience ones, the first 3 weeks, are very critical. And here's why. The first week of experience, which I call experience fulfillment, is all about getting involved in a small group. The second week is called experience life change, which ultimately is all about serving. The reason why those are critical is because I know from experience that if you want to get people plugged into the life of your church in a very strategic and effective way, there are two things that have to happen. Bottom line, they've got to happen. One, you got to connect them into a small group, because it's in the small group that they begin to rub shoulders with other people. It is there that they really begin to grow and learn and mature, because I'll be honest with you, what I've learned is discipleship and spiritual maturity is more caught than taught.
That's right.
In other words, it's not that we don't want to give them information. Oh, no, we want to teach them. You've got to teach. You can't believe what you don't know. But what really comes across to people is when they can see other people, they see their lives, they see how they live, they see how they conduct themselves, how they talk, how they interact. Well, where do you find that most? You find it in a small group dynamic where you get to see people who are further ahead than you, and you begin to see their lives, and they're modeling for you what it means to be a Christ follower. That small group is really, really important. So that's why in the first week, when we bring them into E2 experience, we call it, calling experience fulfillment. They walk into a room full of round tables. We seat them at a round table. We've got E2 planners. These are part of our E2 team. They're there to help facilitate these people through this process. I get up and talk about what Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full." And then I look at the group and say, "What on earth was Jesus talking about?" And of course, they have no idea where I'm going. And then I say, "You know, to really understand what Jesus is talking about, we need to get in what I call the fullness loop."
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I bring up on the PowerPoint, they see this diagram of what I call the fullness loop, in which there are four key words, beginning with the word belong. And I start talking about the fact that somewhere along the way, God gets really, really close. And for the first time, you connect with the God who created you through Christ, and you belong. You become a part of the life of the church, and it gets exciting. As you get plugged in, something else begins to happen, and that moves me to the second of these part of the loop, and that is the word improve. Suddenly, you get highly motivated to improve. You want to be a better Christ follower.
Yes.
So you do what it takes to begin to do that. And over time, you begin to see that truly you are beginning to improve. You really are living life as God meant for you to live it. You can get up in the morning and look in the mirror and go, "Man, I like this person because I didn't mess up yesterday. I actually lived a whole day without making just huge mistakes like I've always done in the past." And suddenly, you discover and you move to that third part of the loop, succeed. You are finding success in life. And as you do that and you begin to live that out, you finally move to what I call the fourth part of that loop, and that is influence. Your life starts to become an influencer because people start looking at you. You become a model to them, and their desire is to imitate you, just as Paul told us in the New Testament that we were to model him or imitate him. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you begin somebody in that same loop where they start at belong and begin to move their way around to improve, succeed, and influence, and the loop just continues to go on and on. Well, at that point, I stop and I just say, "All right, here's the fullness loop. Let me ask you this. Where is the best place in the church for this loop to function?" And they all look at me. Of course, they don't really know where I'm going. And then all of a sudden, the words on the PowerPoint come up, home team. It's where fellowship happens. It's in that small group. It's in that dynamic where it begins to take place. And it's critical. Our goal here at Fellowship Church is to get everyone plugged into a small group, because that is one of the first priorities, to get people plugged in or assimilated into the life of your church. But secondly, the second area is serving. We got to get them to the point where they roll up their sleeves and they're ready to get dirty. They're ready to get messy, if you will, for the kingdom of God. They're ready to plug in wherever they're needed in order to facilitate, to do whatever's needed in the life of the church. And that's the second week of E2 experience, and that's called experience life change. And I play off that verse in Ephesians where Paul writes that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us. And I begin by telling the group, do you realize that you are a masterpiece? In other words, you are God's workmanship. There's no one else like you. And talk about all of that and then introduce them to our DYD, Discover Your Design program. Explain to them what that is. And then move through that evening as we talk about they are a masterpiece. Not only are they a masterpiece created by God, but they're empowered by Christ because they're created in Christ Jesus, and they're employed. In other words, they have a ministry. And the whole focus is for them to realize that they have a place to serve, and we want them to get plugged in. Because again, I've got to stress, if you want to get people assimilated, two key areas. You got to get them involved in a small group, and you got to get them on board serving. A lot of people think that the key is get them in Bible study. Bible study is hugely important. Please don't misunderstand me. But if all a person is doing is coming to a Bible study, they're just sitting and soaking.
Yeah.
And that doesn't ultimately get anybody
assimilated. Yeah, the last thing a lot of people need is another Bible study. People need a place to facilitate ministry in their lives.
You need to
think about other people.
The people that we see around here at Fellowship Church that are really thriving, I mean that are really taking off, are the men and women who are involved in our home teams, our small groups, and are serving.
Many and Tracy, this kind of flies in the face of the old-time definition of assimilation, doesn't it, kind of, in a way?
Well, most people in the past would always think of assimilation in purely in terms of just Bible study, Bible study in some type of a classroom environment, sitting in a chair, listening to somebody teach the Bible. Again, don't misunderstand. Teaching the Bible is very important. We want men and women to know what God says. But if you want to get people that are plugged in and active in your church, the two key areas, small groups and service. Here at Fellowship Church, that's home teams and volunteering, critical.
You know, Tracy, what you're saying is, and I think pastors who are out there listening to this tape need to understand, is that you have to have a strategic path that people know that they're supposed to follow. In
Absolutely.
Other words, you just can't let someone come into Fellowship Church and then leave it up to them to figure out what to do next. We've got to tell them, what is the path? Here's where we want you to go. We want you to go to this point, to this point, to this point. If you do that, you lead them through a pathway that does cause them to get a grasp of what it means to be a Christ follower and what it means to be a part of Fellowship Church. Mm-hmm. And too often, churches just let people join, but they don't give them any follow. I mean, they don't have any idea what to do.
Tracy, what would you say, too, about, you know, we have to stay committed to our vision. And we talk about our vision in these classes. We talk about it corporately. We talk about it in almost every venue of Fellowship Church. But what happens when professional Christians begin to sidetrack you? And what is a professional Christian? Because I know you have some good things to say about that, because everybody deals, every pastor, every leader deals with a professional Christian. And there's someone right now who's listening. You're jogging. You're on a bike, you're in a car, you're with a staff member, you're somewhere and you're going, whoa, man, that sounds familiar, a professional Christian, what is that? And how do they sidetrack you?
You know, when you, as people begin to come to your church, as your church begins to grow, you will attract, particularly for those of you that are in churches that are, say, anywhere from 200 to 500 in attendance, here's what'll happen. And it happens every time, and you better watch out. You've got these professional Christians, what I like to call the big fishes, who think they're big fishes, trying to find the little pond where they can be somebody. And they will come in and they will let you know just how good they are and how blessed you are to have them in your church.
That's right.
And all they can do for you. And the minute you begin to hear that, I'm going to tell you right now, you had better turn and walk away.
Yep. I say run away.
Because if you get them into leadership positions, you will later regret it big time. Mm-hmm. I've heard Ed say this again and again, and I know this to be very, very true. If you're looking for leaders, you will never find them at the front of the room.
That's right.
You're not going to find them up there speaking to you and begging to put them in places. You're going to find them in the back quietly, and they'll start leading because naturally that's what they do, and they know what to do. But at any rate, the professional Christians are all the ones that come in that think they know what church is all about. They'll begin to give you all their ideas.
And they push their agenda, don't they?
You've got to stay away. You've got to be rigid to your agenda. You've got to be rigid to your vision. your purpose statement. At Fellowship Church, we know what we're about. That's the reach up, the reach out, the reach in, and we do not divert from it. I know what I'm about in terms of my ministry, and I don't divert from that. I stay on track. As Preston said, you've got to know what you're doing and be very proactive. In fact, I teach the ministry teams, guys, be very proactive. Don't leave anything to chance. So that people, actually, I found that people are far more comfortable when they know that you know what you're doing and you're directing them and telling them what to do. And if you'll create a track, they'll run on it.
It's amazing looking back on the course of our ministry, Tracy, to see how many professional Christians have popped up and now we're not sure where they are.
Well, that's one of their characteristics, Ed. You know, if you want to see who a professional Christian is in your church, it's usually somebody who tends to move from church to church. And when you know of someone who's coming into your church and they've been a part of two or three other churches, just watch out because
and especially
they're moving
if they talk smack about the former church or staff members or pastors or whatever, that's a red flag. What's this ratchet up principle, Tracy, that you talk about and live out so much here in this assimilation process? Ratchet up.
Well, you know, I tell, particularly with younger pastors, I tell them as they're developing their various ministries, particularly on the front end, all of their guest services, park greeters, ushers, and so forth, one of the keys is as you look at your church, for instance, let's say you're a church that's running 200 in average attendance. What you need to do is ask yourself, all right, we're running 200 people, and this is what we do on the weekend. But if we were running 500 people, what would we do? Would we do things differently? And the answer is yes, you would. Because as you get larger numerically, everything you do has to grow with it. In other words, it's got to get better. So here's the deal. If you're running 200 in attendance, what would you do at 500? Well, start doing it now. Don't wait till you get to 500. Mm-hmm. Start it now. That's why earlier when I talked about the parking ministry, you may not have a great need for a parking ministry at this stage. But go ahead and get somebody out there.
That's right, Tracy. That's an excellent point because we did not need a parking ministry.
No, not in the
beginning. We had 200 people showing up.
But you had somebody out
there. Yeah, they were like, what are you guys doing?
That's right.
You had a guy out there with a red vest on.
But again,
even though wasn't necessary.
That's a vision thing, and it's also teaching the people, here's where we're going.
That's right. You're building an expectation that we will grow.
We need to do a whole session on this, because I believe you should lead your church like it's 3 to 4 times bigger than it presently is. And that'd be a cool thing to talk about, Tracy.
Well, you know, that's why even if you're 500, then ask yourself, what would we do at 1,000? If we were 1,000, what would we do at 2,000? Mm-hmm. You just continue to do that. Continue to do that as you ratchet up everything you're doing to make it better and better as you grow. Because
we serve a big God. We should have a big vision.
That's right.
Big vision.
Now, every church also, Tracy, needs a back door with the front door. You know, one time I was speaking in Florida, in fact, and I said, you know, every church should install a pet door so only the dogs leave. And Lisa told me that was too mean. She said, Ed, don't say that again. I said, you're right. That is.
Okay. Yeah, that might have been too mean. You know, I had a pastor one time call me, and he was really concerned locally here in the area. And he said to me, man, we said, you know, how do we close our back door? And I paused and I said, close your back door. Why do you want to close it? And I could hear almost the confusion on the other end of the line. What? And I said, look, if it's a barn door swung wide open, yeah, you got a problem.
Oh, yeah.
But you need a back door. Mm-hmm. Every church needs a back door, and quit worrying about trying to close it. You need some of those people to exit, because one thing that we have at Fellowship Church experience, we've grown by subtraction.
So that's a great growth principle that we learned early on. Churches grow as much by subtraction as by addition.
And here's the beauty, too, if I can harp again on the newcomers class. The newcomers class helps with addition, and also it helps with subtraction.
Oh, absolutely.
So many people show up, and then as we tell them, here's the deal. Here's how the church is run. Here's how we're set up. Here is what is expected of you as you partner with us.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. And we give them freedom right there, Ed, to decide not to become a part of fellowship. We tell them. You've told them.
Yes, for years.
I've told them.
Have,
Tracy
yes.
tells them that our church is not for everyone. We don't try to be a church for everyone. There are hundreds of great churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and in your whatever community you're in. And we just tell people, if this is not the place for you, if you don't trust what we're doing, if you don't see the vision, then go to somewhere else. We'll pray that God will lead you to the right church. So you have to give them freedom up front to be able to leave.
You know,
I remember one time in newcomers class, I got to the end. And, of course, as I get through the reach out, the reach out, the reach in, I talk about two other areas. One, I talk about the fact that we're a staff-led church. I want them to understand why we do, how we do, what we do, mm-hmm. and that we're staff-led. We empower our staff to be decision-makers so that we can get the ball of ministry to the people who are part of our church. And I remember at the end of the class, this fella came up to me, and he was hesitating. He was waffling on whether or not he wanted to join. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I don't know about this staff-led business. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, you know, I'm an attorney. And then he began to go on and on about how big and important he was. And he said, you know, I think you're missing out on a lot of key leadership here. And I said, well, let me just stop you here for a second. Let me just ask you a question. Let's just say that every time in your law firm you came and had to make a vital decision, but before you could make that decision, you had to ask somebody like me to vote on what was necessary, how to do, what to do. How far do you think your law firm would get? And he looked at me and he said, well, not very far. And I said, well, you know, it works this way too. Now, the reason why I did that, it's not that I'm trying to be mean or nasty to the guy, but quite honestly, I could tell by that comment, this guy is not going to fit in here. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the ones that we say in a nice and gracious way, maybe there's another church for you.
And it's okay to do that.
You bet.
And tell them up front.
Right.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else that I do as the senior pastor about this assimilation thing. I talk on and on. I diesel on and on about calling people. The thing about technology is cool when it's a tool, but it becomes a tail that can wag the dog of your ministry, and it will mess you up because technology has a lot of laziness into it. We want to email. We want to do all this stuff, and we don't want to do the old school note writing and calling. So, Tracy Preston, one of the reasons Fellowship Church does such a great job with assimilation is because we work the phones.
Yes, right. We work the phones. You know, that's really critical. Every time somebody visits Fellowship Church and fills out a guest registry, all of that information is put into the database and immediately gets out to about 30 to 35 of us, I believe,
right.
that do calls.
And we're talking everybody from the executive team on down. I make calls, you make calls,
we all make calls.
And see, technology becomes a blockade to intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a good friend of mine who owns a number of car dealerships, a Jewish guy who just became a Christ follower. In fact, we baptized him last night. I asked him about technology. I said, tell me, what is your take on technology? He said, it's super expensive and it's impersonal. He said, they told me it would change the car business. It's made it more complex. Now, I'm not that radical against technology. I love technology, but don't use that as an excuse to keep you from that one-on-one relationship, because Fellowship Church has grown one life at a time, and you've got to connect. You've got to talk. Technology is lazy in a lot of ways.
You know, communicating with people via the telephone is critical. We get those calls, and we get them on Tuesday morning, and we make our calls. When we make our calls, we've got to log back in. We've got to show that we've made those calls, what was said, what was communicated.
And that's the good thing about technology. It helps with that.
It helps in that regard.
But you still have to do the other work.
It's still that one-on-one personal communication. I never forget, I called one lady that had visited the church, and when she answered the telephone, I said, hey, I'm Tracy Barnes, one of the pastors at Fellowship Church. Just wanted you to know, man, we were really glad you were there this weekend. She went, wow, you've called me?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, she launched into this just super excitement about the fact she could not believe Fellowship Church. And the thing that was most exciting to her was the fact she said, my husband is finally wanting to go to a church. I've been trying to get him to a church for years, and he finally found something that he likes. And I'm so glad you called. And you could feel all of the excitement on the other end of the line. And the fact that we took the time to personally give her a call to let her know you're important and you matter.
And there are some times that you may not get to
talk to
somebody. And it's okay. You know, in our culture today, it's fine to leave voicemail. Technology can help you
That's
there.
That's great.
And we leave a voicemail. I always tell people who I am, what my phone number is, and they're always free to call me if they have any questions about Fellowship. I direct them to the website if they want to know more stuff about our church. So it's okay if you don't talk to them, but at least leave a message. Let them know that you tried to communicate, you tried to reach them, and that's that personal touch.
You bet. And there's nothing like that personal touch, particularly, and I see this again and again in newcomers class, somebody will come up to me and tell me, "You called me."
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, I just want you to know how much that meant to me." And I know that that one call may have been the difference between that person around or not. And that is critical, because we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about lives in the balance. We're talking about men and women, boys and girls, having the opportunity to come in relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the bottom line.
And we also check out people, too, on our staff as far as the work of assimilation, Tracy, because people do not what you expect, but what you inspect.
You got
and
it.
Many times I do this thing called the IRS, the Internal Response Service. You've heard me talking about it before,
yeah.
Where I will make up bogus names, where I'll fill out stuff and see how fast we call people and how fast and how intentional we really are about assimilation.
You got it.
A couple of days ago, Lisa went to Nordstrom to buy a couple of outfits. And when she walked in, a woman who had worked with us at Nordstrom 2 years ago ran up to her and said, "Lisa," called her by name, "Lisa, how are you doing? I want to show you a couple of outfits right quick. Forget email. Forget technology. Forget cell phones.
You got
forget
it.
Palm Pilots. One-on-one." So don't turn me off and think I'm anti-technology, but I'm telling you, you've got to have the personal touch. This has been a great time to talk about assimilation. A lot of these resources are available, will be available on creativepastors.com because, man, this stuff, Tracy, that we're talking about is huge. And the cool thing about it is it's developed and churches can assimilate the assimilation material right now within their church. And I'm telling you, it will take them to the next level as they ratchet up their church for the kingdom of God.
Thanks for listening to today's talk on Leadership Uncensored. If you would like more information about today's topic, assimilation, or any other ministries in your church, log on to our website, creativepastors.com. Also, on our website, you'll find many other resources to help you in your church creatively reach others for Christ. Our website, again, is creativepastors.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Leadership Uncensored.